Thank you, Luke. Happy New Year. Well, not yet, right? It's coming. Probably can't come fast enough, right? 2017 has been quite a year, right? I'm pretty ready for it to be done. We're going to wrap up 2017 today and tonight at Salmon Creek and step into 2018. At least for me, I'm stepping into 2018 with a sense of expectancy that God has something for us in this coming year that is good. And so, you know, however this year played out, right, as rough a year as it was, God is still good, right? He's still on the throne. And as much as we went through all the things that we went through, He still has a plan for each and every one of us. And, you know, when it comes to the end of the year, how many of you have thought about New Year's resolutions? Anyone? Some people are like, I completely reject New Year's resolutions. Right? We don't keep them anyway. Exactly, right? So why bother? Because I know I'm going to blow it by January 3rd, 2nd, right? Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because every year I try to set goals for myself, and there are years where I'm successful and there are years when I'm not so successful. And in 2017, I set some pretty big goals, and I can say I can check them off. I accomplished those goals, and that's huge. For me, because I am that classic journaler where I have a library full of empty journals that maybe two or three pages are full, and the first page of every journal is this year it's going to be different, right? Anybody have a collection of empty journals like me? My wife is like, do not buy another journal. Continuing the old one, I can't because it's polluted with that year that doesn't belong. The OCD says 2016 can only be in 2016. I know, right? Or just rip those pages out, but then I know, right? Because there's those little shred marks. Anyways, I'm getting off track. It happens. You know, but for many Christians, like, we think that, okay, this year I want to read through the Bible. And we always put these things on us, right? We want to read more. We want to memorize more. I want to do whatever that more is when it comes to our walk with God. And those are all good things, right? Because when it comes to the Word of God, more is always better. But there's a lot of us who, when we look at the thought of reading through the entire Bible, that, you know, all of a sudden, like, things in our brain just start going tilt, right? Like an old pinball game. Oh, man, the whole Bible, all of it. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how tiny the print is in that book? It's way, you know, and so we start coming up with these reasons why there's just no way we can, right? It's just too complicated. It's too complicated for me. I'm not going to understand it. Or maybe we even go as far as we say, I don't really see how it even applies to my life. Is it even relevant to my life now? Or I don't understand what it means. Or whenever I open my Bible, I get frustrated because there is all this stuff in there that I don't get. I don't get why this person is related to that person, and what is the world? What in the world does that have to do with me? Or maybe I've been a Christian for 20 years and I still don't know how to read through my Bible, right? Anybody there? Anybody with me? Yeah. What if I told you that it's possible this year that you can know God in a deeper way? What if I told you that this year we have an opportunity to hear God speak to us every single day? We have an opportunity to have God speak into whatever situation you're facing. And what's amazing is that what Ashley's facing and what Josh is facing and what Tasha is facing and what I'm facing and Jason and Carl and Cindy and Luke and Jesse and Toby and Matt, we're all facing different things. And every single day we can go to God's Word and God can speak specifically to what you're dealing with a clear direction and an answer. That'd be pretty amazing. What if I told you that God wrote the Bible for the sole purpose of you understanding it? Right? We look at it, we're like, oh, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. There's all these things. But God wrote it so that we could understand it. And it's possible to understand it as I bite my tongue. Ow. I just did. I bit it really bad. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'll just spray blood all over you. So, just kidding. What if I told you that whether you've been a Christian for 10 minutes or 10 years or 10 decades, you can understand God's Word for yourself? You know, it's challenging when we think about the Bible, we think about the Scriptures. For a very, very long time, people didn't have their own copy of the Scriptures, right? If you were a Jewish person living before Christ, there was the Old Testament. That was it. There were the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and those made up the books of the law. And then there are the books of history that talk about the history of the nation of Israel. And then there were books that talk about the worship of God, and there's poetry and prayer journals and the Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes and Lamentations that are books of poetry or wisdom literature. And then there's the prophets, the minor prophets and the major prophets, and they're not minor because they're less important. They're just minor because they're smaller and they have just as powerful an impact. Many of those minor prophets are the ones that actually point to Christ, the promises of where Jesus would be born and how his circumstances would come about are out of minor prophets. And that was the only Bible that they had, and the only chance that they had to even encounter God's Word was when they would go to the temple and hear it read to them. Because you didn't have a copy of the Torah in your own home. If you were fortunate enough as a young person to go to Hebrew school, then you learned the Torah and you memorized it. And literally in Torah school, young people memorize the entire books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There are some of you that are like, you're working on memorizing Scripture this year, right? And it's like a chunk, like maybe it's a chapter, or maybe it's a few passages of Scripture. And that's amazing. It's awesome, right? Because it's important to put God's Word in our hearts. But imagine having to learn and memorize the entire first five books of the Old Testament and know it by heart. Right? Big deal. But you had to do it because you didn't have the copy. You couldn't flip open your scroll at home. There was only one scroll in the temple or in your synagogue. And then even after that, the New Testament, as the authors of the New Testament started writing letters and narratives of the life of Christ and instructions to churches and even the last book, Revelation, that John records the vision that God gives him and what's going to happen at the end. As those letters and stories circulated, it was still one of those things where it wasn't something that everyone had. And then as the church grew, right, the Bible was in Latin, and if you didn't read, which was the vast majority of the world who just couldn't read, your only exposure to God's Word was when you went to church on Sunday and the priest would read it to you in Latin, and hopefully you spoke and understood Latin. So we have an incredible, incredible opportunity in 2018 as Christians, as humans, that we have sitting probably in each and every one of our homes a copy of God's Holy Scripture. Maybe multiple copies. Maybe multiple copies in multiple different translations. And still we're like, yeah, I don't know. Reading through the Bible, read my Bible every day. Really, Pastor Rob? Right? Let's not get crazy. We come on Sunday and you read scriptures to us. Isn't that enough? As your pastor, I want nothing more for you than to charge through every circumstance that comes your way this coming year and understand God's Word by the Spirit of God and allow His Word to speak into every single one of those situations. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." Do you want life in 2018? Do you want life in 2018? Open your Bible. There's no better way to start our new year than by starting it as God's people and a renewed commitment to knowing and loving God's Word. I love it. Psalm 119:14, it says, "In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches." That in your word, I am more delighted in your word than if I had won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That all the money in the world is not as good as what God can speak into your life every single day. The more we open up His Word, the more His truth will be found to be true in your life. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is that passage where we're in verse 16. We usually will go to verse 16, but I want to start in verse 14. It says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." You want to do good? Do you want to live a good life? Do you want to see God do good things in your life this year? Open your Bible. Let Him teach you. Let Him correct you. Let Him show you where you need to maybe make a course correction. You know, yesterday or the day before, I posted a picture. I know, I was excited too. I posted a scripture verse. Every day I go into the YouVersion Bible app and I find the verse of the day and I'll grab an image of that and I'll post that up on Facebook. That's kind of been part of my routine in 2017. It actually has helped me a lot in my routine to stay in God's Word every single day because it's the first thing I do. Literally, I wake up, I open my Bible app, and you guys know that the pat on the back is one of those things that's really nice to get, right? And I don't know if you remember me telling the story that the YouVersion app actually keeps track of how many days in a row that you are in the Bible app. And so, like, you know, for me, that's a motivation. That 87 days in a row or 88 days in a row, you were in God's Word. That's an encouragement. It was hard when we went camping and something happened to my Bible app and it blew my streak. And so when I reset the app and turned it back on, "You've been in the Bible one day." And I'm like, no, way more than one day. But I posted this verse the other day, Psalm 119:114. It says, "You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope." You are my refuge and my shield. You know, that verse, really, this year, I have needed that probably more than any other year of my life. That God is my refuge and my shield. And your word is my source of hope. I know that there are many of you sitting here this morning, this has been a rough year. It's been a rough one. But He is our source and our refuge, and His Word is our source of hope. Now, I intended to bring a compass, and I can't believe that I couldn't find a compass, but I have the compass app on my phone. Anybody, smart app, I have my compass on my phone, right? And I'm sure that Chick probably has a compass in the car. Probably. And I was kicking myself because last Sunday, my mom gave all of the kids who graduated from the Planet 56 Foundations class a compass. I forgot until I got here today. I was planning on grabbing your compass. But a compass does what? It points north. Right, all by itself? You need a deposit. What do you need? A deposit of what? In the bank? A deposit of what? Iron? You think it's iron? It's not actual north. So for us, the compass works because in northern Canada, in the Hudson Bay region, there's this massive deposit of iron in the Earth's crust. And it's so big that if you take and magnetize a piece of metal, that needle or that piece of metal will always point to that piece of iron that's in the ground. It's like it's that powerful. It's kind of cool. So when we think about north, automatically you think the North Pole, and that compasses point to the North Pole. They don't. They point to northern Canada in the Hudson Bay region. Yeah, so that's not what I'm talking about. So if you have a compass, there's a little needle in there, and it's red on one end, and that's the end that always points which direction? Magnetic north or north. It's close enough. Like Toby said, it's about 8 degrees off of true north, which is the North Pole. Magnetic north and true north. So sitting here this morning, can someone tell me, I'll go on the count of three, we'll all do it once and see if you know where you are geographically. Ready? On the count of three, we're all going to point north. One, two, three, point. Yeah, pretty good. And you went up, Will's pointing this way. Okay. North is that way. How do you know that the north is that way? Because that's where the lake is, right? Growing up my whole life, I really rarely got lost because in my mind I always like, where am I in relationship to the lake? Okay, the lake is that way. If the lake is that way, then Gates must be that way and Webster must be that way and Henrietta must be that way, right? And you know, a compass provides direction. You know, when you're on a trip, whether you're on a backpacking trip and you're using a map and a compass, or you're a ship out on the water, a friends that sail, if you are trying to get somewhere and you don't use the compass to keep you on course, you could end up in a very different location than the one that you intended. And you have to regularly check the compass to make sure, am I still going in the right direction? That's what God's Word is to us. You know, even if we have good intentions, if we're not checking our bearing, if we're not checking the direction that we're going, it's so easy to get off course and end up somewhere that we didn't want to be. But God's Word, when we are regularly reminded about who God is and what His plan is for us, that every single day He can guide us to live the life that He has set for us. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Every day, His Word can give you something to help you navigate that day. Charles Spurgeon said this. I love this quote. He said, "The most important daily habit we can possess is to remind ourselves of the gospel every single day. God, remind me of that good news. That I have this, that you've given this to me, that it's available not just to me, but to anyone I come in contact with today. God, that I walk in that every day. So, if you want to read through the Bible with us in 2018, you need a plan, right? Because if we're just, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the whole Bible in 2018, and you sit down with your Bible tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon because you sleep in because you're going to stay up late with us tonight, and you open up your Bible, or maybe you go home tonight after New Year's Eve and you're still wide awake from driving, and it's technically the first day of 2018. You want to read before you go to bed. You can totally do that. And so I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to read the whole book of Genesis. Yeah? No? You could. You could, right? Well, Matt, you could, right? Just knock that puppy out. Just read it. No, you need a plan. So I have a plan. And it is a plan that is going to help each and every one of us, if you choose to do it, to read through the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all 66 books, and this book of Psalms twice in 2018. So one of those things, you need to have good tools, right? So how many of you want to read through the Bible and you want to do it like on paper? You want to hold a physical paper Bible and you need a paper plan to follow. Jesse, can you go pass these out to everyone who's got their hands raised? How many of you would like to do it digitally? You want to do it on your app or on your phone? Anybody? All right. So if you have your phone, we're 21st century good Christians. Our phones are with us. I want you to grab your phone. Literally, right now, I want you to go to either the Google Store or the App Store. I'll show you what it looks like. Does anybody not have it already, the app on their phone? Or does everybody already have it? You got the app already? Got it. Anybody not have it? You need it. Go to the App Store. And in the search button at the top, write the words read scripture. It looks like this. You got it? Oh, you got it already. Awesome. Anybody else? You need a Bible reading plan? Those are my notes. You can't have those. Can't play Tetris. Not now. It's the one, if you look up on the screen, you see that logo? On the App Store, it's going to be brown with white letters, I think. But it's called Read Scripture. That's the plan. Now, if you use YouVersion, the YouVersion app for reading through your Bible, there is a reading plan. If you look for Read Scripture in the YouVersion Bible reading app, it's not called Read Scripture. It's called the Bible Project. And if you want to do your Bible reading in the YouVersion Bible app, the Bible Project, that reading plan is the exact same plan as this. It's just called something different. That make sense? So, Bruce, I want to show that video about where we're heading in 2018.
We know that the Bible is long, and for many people, an intimidating book. But we believe that the entire thing is telling one unified story that leads us to Jesus. And so we want to help you learn how to read the Bible as you actually read through the entire thing for yourself. So the Read Scripture experience is, first of all, a reading plan that has broken up the story of the Bible into 16 chapters. Now, we've rearranged the order of some of the books to help you see how this overall story works and how each book contributes to it. So we begin with creation of the world and the fall of humanity, which leads to God's covenant promises to Abraham and his family, the people of Israel. Then you come to God's rescue of Israel in the Exodus from Egypt, which is followed by the covenant God makes with them at Mount Sinai. From there, God leads Israel through the wilderness and then into the Promised Land, where Israel grows into a nation and breaks the covenant. And so this flows into the rise and the fall of Israel's kingdom, which ends with Israel being exiled from the land. Now, the story pauses right here, and you'll read through the poetry of the prophets who lived before Israel's exile, and also of the wisdom writings that reflect on this part of the story as well. After this, the story will pick up again, and you'll read the writings of the prophets who lived during the exile, then about the return of Israel from exile, and the writings of the prophets who lived after the exile. You'll conclude the Old Testament with the book of Chronicles. It's a summary of the story so far and how it all points forward to Jesus. And finally, we come to Jesus himself and his announcement of the kingdom of God, which is then followed by the letters of the apostles to the people of Jesus' kingdom. Finally, we'll conclude the entire biblical story with the Revelation, a poetic vision of Jesus' return and the healing of all creation. Now, each of these 16 chapters has a number of reading sessions it will take to complete it. Some of these are shorter, others are longer. And if you take just 15 to 20 minutes a day to complete each session, you'll be able to read through the entire Bible in less than a year. Now, even with this map, many books of the Bible are really confusing. It's very easy to get lost. And so when you start each new book of the Bible, you'll be able to watch a short video that lays out that book's structure and flow of thought, and it'll give you tips about what kinds of things to look for as you read. But also, every book contributes to the overall story of the Bible as well. And so we'll have theme videos placed at strategic points in the reading plan to help you see how the part of the Bible you're reading at the moment fits into that larger story. Finally, each day's reading session includes a psalm, because we believe that reading the Bible is not just an intellectual experience, but also spiritual. And so we invite you to take the year to develop the daily habit of praying through the psalms. And by the end of the year, you'll have prayed through the whole book of Psalms 2.5 times. Our hope is that the Read Scripture experience will help you read through the entire Bible with greater understanding than you ever have before, so you can see for yourself the beauty and the wisdom of this ancient story that points us to Jesus.
All right. So wouldn't it be amazing if this year you could just totally crush this one goal? That this year you're just going to, this one I'm going to knock out of the park. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could do that? Now, I was talking with Tom before the service, and he said, you know, I've been wanting to read my Bible, read through the Bible my whole life, and I can never seem to do it, right? Anybody else? You know, it just seems like I get to that point, and I'm like, oh, forget it, I'm done. I blew it, and so now I'm going to stop. I want to give us, just quickly before we leave, 5 things that I think will help us get through and not just this goal, but any of the other goals. Maybe you have some other goals that you want to accomplish this coming year. Maybe you want to lose some weight. You want to exercise more. You want to do whatever, right? Because those are other goals that we wish that we could do, and we just never seem like we can do it. So here's a couple of things, 5 things. Your resolutions, your goals, are essentially intentions. What does that mean? You know, one of the problems that I had early on was I had these great intentions of doing things, right? Losing weight, going to the gym, reading through my Bible, whatever that goal is. And there were things that I wanted to do, but I had no plan on how I was going to accomplish them, right? It's a goal. So for us, it's reading through the entire of Scripture in 2018. That's our goal. So if you don't have a plan, all you have is the good intention. It's like, oh, that would be nice if I could read through the Bible in 2018. And what for many of us, what we're lacking is a strategy. And this is a great start, right? Having a plan, having that strategy. When we look at the things that we want to do, what is our strategy? If you don't have a strategy, you will fail. You will not accomplish it. John Piper said this. He said, nothing but the simplest impulses gets accomplished without some forethought, which we call a plan. Number one, we've got to have a plan. And if you didn't have a plan 5 minutes ago, now you do. Right? It's either on your phone or it's on a piece of paper. Stick it in your Bible. So you are statistically, significantly more likely, I'm setting you up for success, to actually succeed at reading through God's Word in 2018. Yay, LifeQuest. Right? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. A lot of times, we allow our priorities to get hijacked. What does that mean? So we've got great intentions, and maybe we've even got a plan, right? We've got a strategy. But when we set out, January 1st will come, January 2nd will come, and life happens, right? Kids get sick. Something happens at work. Your phone starts buzzing. People knock on your door. And so, you know, everyone seems to need just 5 minutes of your time or some urgent thing that maybe isn't important, but it's urgent, and it creeps into your life. And by the end of the day, you realize that people have taken almost all the time that you've got, and you're way farther behind than you were at 8 o'clock when you started the day. No one ever asks you to accomplish your priorities. Many times, all people ask is for you to help them accomplish theirs. And so, you know, for me as a pastor, no one texts me or emails me to say, "Pastor, this week I want you to write a killer message for Sunday." I don't believe I have ever received a text or a message that said, "Pastor, this week we want you to knock it out." Never had one. What I do get are, "Pastor, do you have 5 minutes of your time," which is never 5 minutes, to talk about whatever. And that's, I'm not saying that that's not part of who I am and what I'm called to do. But I have never had someone cancel a meeting with me to say, "You know, Pastor, I just thought that you should have more prep time for Sunday. So can we just reschedule our meeting for another time?" Never had that happen, ever. Or maybe you're at work and you're trying to work on a key project. How many times has someone knocked on your door and said, "Hey, listen, I know that we've got this deadline, and so what I'd like to do is I'd like to reschedule our meeting for next week so that you can have some breathing room so you can get that project done." Ever have that happen, Rob? Never? Have you had someone gave you breathing room to get a project done? That's huge. Huge. You had to ask. Well, they didn't know. I'm saying they came to you to say, "Rob, I know you're busy, so I'm going to cancel this meeting so that you can have more time to get it done."
I had to ask one person for them to then go tell somebody else.
Right. But you had to ask for it. Yeah. We need to be the champions of our priorities. Because if you don't champion what's important, no one else is going to. Don't let other people hijack your priority. If reading through God's Word in 2018 is part of the plan, then you have to prioritize that is one of the things that can't slip. I can't let other things creep in and knock that off the list. Number three, a lot of times we do this. We add, but we never subtract. Right? This year I want to have a great year, so I'm going to jam my life full of all of this stuff. And then we wonder why we don't accomplish it, because we've got so many things on our list of things to do. And I think sometimes we're great at adding and we're terrible at subtracting because we're terrified to say no. We're terrified to say, "Yeah, I can't do that because of this." I want to encourage you this year to look at maybe there are some things that you need to cut, that you need to say no to, that you need to subtract so that the things that you're doing, you can do awesome. Craig Rochelle, pastors Life Church out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he said this. He said, "If everything's important, nothing's important. If everything's a priority, nothing is." Right? People who reach their goals are better at subtraction than addition. They subtract more things from their life than they add. What about us? What are some things that maybe you need to cut out of 2018 so that you can make God's Word? I keep looking for my Bible, my paper Bible. Maybe there's something that you need to subtract so that this stays the priority. I don't know what that is for you. And I don't want to be that guy that says all of these things that you do, they're terrible, and so you should cut all those things out. That's between you and God. You know what you need to subtract. So number one, our resolutions are just intentions. Number two, our priorities keep getting hijacked. Number three, we add, but we never subtract. Number four, we don't address our patterns. Right? We are creatures of habit, aren't we? Right? I've got and now this is one of the things that I have to subtract, and it makes me cry. Because in 2018, I cannot continue to eat waffles and sausage for breakfast. Can't do it. Because it's not helping the overall picture. It is good for my soul. But every single day, I will go downstairs and I will put the K-cup in the coffee and the waffles in the toaster and the sausage patty in the microwave. And I go, press, press, press. And in 2 minutes, I am sitting at the kitchen table with waffles and sausage and coffee. It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. But that pattern is not helping this at all. And so I'm changing my pattern so that in 2018, my alarm clock goes off at 5 o'clock. I'm doing my quiet time and my devotions, and I'm reading my Bible plan. And then at 6 o'clock, I'm at the gym. And I'll be at the gym from... And so I have to change my pattern. Because if I keep doing what I've been doing, I will keep getting what I have always had, which is this and dumb this. If you study your everyday life, it completely consists of repeated patterns. We do the same things every single day. We get up, we brush our teeth the same way. We are creatures of pattern. So if you want to see, and maybe you say, oh no, I don't have any patterns, right? My pattern, my life is just random chaos, and there's no pattern to my life. Well, that's wonderful, but really, you have a pattern of random chaos. That's just the pattern you've chosen, right? So the question is, are your patterns helping you or are your patterns hurting you? Right now I have some patterns in my life, they're hurting me. And so those patterns have to change. If you have unrealized goals and dreams, your patterns are hurting you. Because if your patterns supported your dreams, you would have already accomplished them. Right? So what patterns do you need to address in the next 24 hours? Right? Before January 1st. No pressure. We got time. Last thing, number 5. You left your calendar out of the equation. Let me encourage you, if you don't have a calendar, get one. If you want an app for a calendar, there's awesome calendar apps. Terry and I, we sat down, and I know it drives people crazy, but I live by email, where if you want me to do something, you want something to get done, don't text me, don't call me, don't talk to me at church on Sunday, because I'm going to walk out of here, get in my car, and I'll be thinking, squirrel, or something else, right? If you want it remembered, if we're out of hot chocolate, email me. If we need more napkins, email me. Text me and it's gone. Write it on a paper plate and stick it in my Bible. It will just get thrown away. Email me, because what I do is I take my email and jump it right into my calendar so that it doesn't get missed. What we put on our calendar is what we will accomplish. So for me, now for 2018, Terry and I, we sat down and I said, okay, I need to know when the kids get on the bus, so that if I need to be home from the gym on these days, that I'm home from the gym, because Terry just got a job. Well, she's been working part-time. They actually gave her full-time at the community center. So January 16th, she's working Monday through Friday. And so now we have new patterns that we need to establish. And so I sat down with my wife and said, let's go over the calendar so that we're in sync. We're not out of sync, right? And for those of you that are married and you have smartphones, I highly encourage you to sync your calendars so that if you put something on the calendar, your wife sees it or your husband sees it. That has been just an amazing blessing and sometimes a curse, because I forget to put something in the calendar and then my wife is like, it's not in the calendar, right? That's bad news bears. Do you see your goals? Do you see your quiet time with God scheduled into your regular pattern of life? If it's not there, if it's not in that rhythm of your everyday, you probably won't accomplish this goal. Amazing things happen when we decide to schedule our dreams daily. They happen. Schedule your time with God so that it doesn't get pushed to the side. Whether that's and so there's other things that go into my calendar, like my family time, so that when urgent things happen or something comes up and says, hey, do you think you could? I look at my calendar. I say, no, I'm sorry. That time slot is booked. I've made a commitment to my family that I can't break, or my work schedule, or my or church schedule, or whatever. What you schedule, you'll do. Lastly, this A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the man who would truly know God must give time to him. If we know God, if we want to know him, we've got to be willing to give him time. If all we're giving him is these little sludgy bits at the end of our day, it's probably not going to add up to a lot of meaningful relationship. And I'm not saying that you have to sacrifice hours every single day. 10 to 15 minutes, start your day, end your day, wherever you're best. And again, don't worry about, I have to read my Bible in the morning. I'm a morning person. That's when it makes the most sense to me. For those of you that are night people, do your devotions at night. Just do them whenever you're at your best. Give God your best, not whatever's left over when you're wiped out at the lowest part of your day. And then don't give up. You know, I have, and you may not know it, you may not be able to observe it, but I have missed meals in the past. There have been times where I have missed a meal. I'm telling you, it happens. I know. But because I missed a meal doesn't mean that I've just given up on eating, right? Forget it. I missed a meal, so forget it. I'm just not going to eat. That's what we do with God's Word. Right? Oh, I missed a couple of times when I was supposed to do it. Forget it. I'll just put it up on the shelf with all the other dusty books. Let's not give up this year. I believe that God is calling us this year to do something, to do this together as a church family, to be people of the Word. That He wants us to be people that are in His Word every single day. There are some things that you're going to learn this year that you never knew. This past year, as I was doing my Bible reading plan, there were things that I found in my Bible reading that I'm like, that's in there? There are some misconceptions that we have about how our faith works, that when you look at what God's Word has to say about that thing, it's going to change some of your perspectives. And we don't change our perspectives based on what our feelings are, what we'd like it to say. We order our lives based on what the book says, right? It's the compass that guides us. The beauty and the joy of 2018 will not depend on your circumstances. It's not going to depend on whether or not you have a great year or a terrible year. The beauty and joy that we will have in 2018 is completely dependent on our experience of the one who created us and who has a plan for us, regardless of whether things go great or not, whether or not we find a job in 2018 or not, whether or not we get healthy in 2018 or not. He still has a plan for your life, and He wants to speak it into us every single day. So what will be fun is to see as we go through. What's awesome about this year that's pretty unique is that January 1st is tomorrow. And so if you start the Bible reading plan tomorrow, you'll have a week's worth of reading, and then next Sunday we will start our message series based on what we read this week. And so that carries through the whole year for 2018. It'll be interesting to see how we pull like in the springtime at Easter, where we're at in the scriptures, and probably just we'll take a bunny trail to get to Easter. But I'm really looking forward to Christmas because we're going to be in Revelation. I'm going to show you how Revelation points to Christmas because it does in a really cool way. Let's be people of the Word. Let's have a plan. Let's just not have an intention or a good idea. We have a plan. We have a strategy. We have a priority. We're going to schedule it and put it in our calendar. We're going to crush this in 2018 and be people of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Word. It's our compass. It's our guide. It's our lamp to show us the way. Father, I pray that as we wrap up 2017 and we step into 2018, that you would make this year the year of the Word, that we would be the people of your Word every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings. Hope you have a great day. Please drive carefully as you're making your way home. New Year's Eve starts at 7 o'clock. If you are part of the people who are coming to help with setup, that's 6 o'clock. And we'll see you tonight at Salmon Creek. Blessings.